Copyright 1992, Acebo. All material on this tape is copyrighted. It is a violation of federal copyright law to copy all or any part of this tape without the express written permission of Acebo. P.O. Box 7485, Spreckels, California, 93962. Tape 8, Side B, Jury Instructions.
Felony hit and run. Defendant is accused in count one of the information of having committed the crime of felony hit and run in violation of section 20001 of the Vehicle Code. Every person who, as the driver of any vehicle, is knowingly involved in an accident resulting in death or injury to any person other than himself and fails to perform all of the following duties: 1. Immediately stop the vehicle at the scene of the accident. 2. Give his name, address, the registration number of the vehicle he is driving, and the name of the owner of the vehicle to the person struck or the driver or occupants of any vehicle collided with, or to any traffic or police officer at the scene of the accident, and upon request, if available, exhibit his driver's license to such persons or officer, and 3. Render reasonable assistance to any person injured in such accident, including the carrying or making arrangements for the carrying of such person to a physician, surgeon, or hospital for medical or surgical treatment, if it is apparent that such treatment is necessary, or if such carrying is requested by the injured person, is guilty of felony hit and run in violation of Vehicle Code Section 20001. The word knowingly means that the driver of the vehicle involved knew that an accident had occurred, knew that he was involved in the accident, and either knew that the accident resulted in injury to or death of a person, or knew that it was of such a nature that it was probable that it resulted in injury or death. The word involved, as used in this instruction, means being connected with an accident in a natural or logical manner. To be involved in an accident does not require that a vehicle collide with another vehicle or a person. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. While driving a motor vehicle, a person was involved in an accident resulting in death of or injury to another person. 2. Such person knew that an accident had occurred, knew that he was involved in the accident, and either knew that the other person had been injured or killed, or that from the nature of the accident it was probable that another person had been injured or killed. And 3. Such person failed to perform one or more of the following duties: A. To immediately stop at the scene of the accident. B. To give his name, address, the license number of said vehicle, and the name of the owner of said vehicle to the person injured, or to the driver or occupants of the other vehicle, if any, or to any traffic or police officer at the scene of the accident, and though requested, failed to show his available driver's license, and C. To render reasonable assistance to a person injured. Before you may return a verdict of guilty, you must agree that the defendant failed to perform one or more of the foregoing duties. You must also unanimously agree on at least one particular duty that he failed to perform. Controlled substance. Defendant is accused in count two of the information of having committed the crime of illegal possession of a controlled substance, a violation of section 11350 of the Health and Safety Code. Every person who possesses a controlled substance, namely cocaine, is guilty of the crime of illegal possession of a controlled substance in violation of Health and Safety Code Section 11350. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A person exercised control or had the right to exercise control over a certain controlled substance. 2. Such person had knowledge of its presence. 3. Such person had knowledge of its nature as a controlled substance. And 4. The substance was in an amount sufficient to be used as a controlled substance. There are two kinds of possession: actual possession and constructive possession. actual possession requires that a person knowingly have direct physical control over a thing. Constructive possession does not require actual possession, but does require that a person knowingly have the right of control over a thing, either directly or through another person or persons. One person may have possession alone, or two or more persons together may share actual or constructive possession. Illegal possession of a deadly weapon. Defendant is accused in count 3 of the information of having violated section 12020 of the Penal Code. Every person who has in his possession any instrument or weapon of the kind commonly known as a sawed-off shotgun is guilty of the crime of violation of section 12020 of the Penal Code. A sawed-off shotgun means a shotgun having a barrel or barrels of less than 18 inches in length, or a rifle having a barrel or barrels of less than 16 inches in length, or any weapon made from a rifle or shotgun, whether by alteration, modification, or otherwise, if such weapon as modified has an overall length of less than 26 inches. The barrel of a sawed-off shotgun means the distinct tubular part of the weapon separate and apart from the bolt, receiver, firing pin, or any other piece of the gun. It is not necessary to constitute the offense charged against the defendant that the weapon be concealed upon his person, or be capable of such concealment, or that it be carried upon his person. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A person exercised control or had the right to exercise control over a sawed-off shotgun, and 2. Such person had knowledge of the presence of said weapon. Assault. Defendant is accused in count 4 of the information of having committed the crime of assault, a violation of section 240 of the Penal Code. Every person who, with general criminal intent, makes an unlawful attempt, coupled with the present ability, to apply physical force upon the person of another, is guilty of the crime of assault. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. An unlawful attempt was made to apply physical force upon the person of another. 2. At the time of such attempt, the person who made the attempt had the present ability to apply such physical force. And 3. The person making the attempt had a general criminal intent, which in this case means that such person intended to commit an act, the direct, natural, and probable consequences of which, if successfully completed, would be the application of physical force upon the person of another. To constitute an assault, it is not necessary that any actual injury be inflicted. However, if an injury is inflicted, it may be considered in connection with other evidence in determining whether an assault was committed, and if so, the nature of the assault. Burglary. Defendant is accused in count 5 of the information of having committed the crime of burglary, a violation of section 459 of the Penal Code. Every person who enters any structure with the specific intent to steal, take, and carry away the personal property of another of any value, and with the further specific intent to deprive the owner permanently of such property, or with the specific intent to commit a felony, is guilty of the crime of burglary in violation of Penal Code Section 459. It is immaterial whether the intent with which the entry was made was thereafter carried out. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A person entered a structure. 2. At the time of the entry, such person had the specific intent to steal and take away someone else's property and intended to deprive the owner permanently of such property. Or 3. Such person had the specific intent to commit a felony. Rape of non-spouse. Defendant is accused in count 6 of the information of having committed the crime of rape, a violation of section 261 of the Penal Code. Every person who engages in an act of sexual intercourse with a female person who is not the spouse of the perpetrator, accomplished against such person's will, by means of force, violence, or fear of immediate and unlawful bodily injury, is guilty of the crime of rape in violation of Penal Code Section 261. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A male and female person engaged in an act of sexual intercourse. 2. The two persons were not married to each other. 3. The act of intercourse was against the will of the female person. And 4. Such act was accomplished by means of force, violence, or fear of immediate and unlawful bodily injury. Any sexual penetration, however slight, constitutes engaging in an act of sexual intercourse. Proof of ejaculation is not required. Against such person's will means without the consent of the female person. Rape of spouse. Defendant is accused in count 7 of the information of having committed the crime of spousal rape, a violation of section 262 of the Penal Code. Every person who engages in an act of sexual intercourse with his wife, accomplished against her will by means of force or fear of immediate and unlawful bodily injury to her or another person, is guilty of the crime of spousal rape in violation of Penal Code Section 262. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A male and female person engaged in an act of sexual intercourse. 2. The two persons were married to each other. 3. The act of intercourse was against the will of the wife. And 4. Such act was accomplished by means of force or fear of immediate and unlawful bodily injury to her or another person. Any sexual penetration, however slight, constitutes engaging in an act of sexual intercourse. Against the will means without consent. Lewd act with child. Defendant is accused in count 8 of the information of having committed the crime of lewd act with child, a violation of section 288A of the Penal Code. Every person who willfully and lewdly commits any lewd or lascivious act upon or with the body or any part or member thereof of a child under the age of 14 years with the specific intent of arousing, appealing to, or gratifying the lust or passions or sexual desires of such person or of such child is guilty of the crime of committing a lewd or lascivious act upon the body of a child in violation of section 288A of the Penal Code. A lewd or lascivious act is defined as any touching of the body of a person under the age of 14 years with the specific intent to arouse, appeal to, or gratify the sexual desires of either party. To constitute a lewd or lascivious act, it is not necessary that the bare skin be touched. The touching may be through the clothing of the child. The law does not require as an essential element of the crime that the lust, passions, or sexual desires of either of such persons be actually aroused, appealed to, or gratified. It is no defense to this charge that a child under the age of 14 years may have consented to the alleged lewd or lascivious act. In order to prove the crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A person committed a lewd or lascivious act upon the body of a child. 2. The child was under 14 years of age. And 3. Such act was committed with the specific intent to arouse, appeal to, or gratify the lust, passions, or sexual desires of such person or of the child. Homicide. Homicide is the killing of one human being by another, either lawfully or unlawfully. Homicide includes murder and manslaughter, which are unlawful, and the acts of excusable and justifiable homicides, which are lawful. Murder. Defendant is accused in count 9 of the information of having committed the crime of murder, a violation of Penal Code Section 187. Every person who unlawfully kills a human being with malice aforethought or during the commission or attempted commission of a felony inherently dangerous to human life is guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Section 187 of the Penal Code. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A human being was killed. 2. The killing was unlawful. And 3. The killing was done with malice aforethought, or occurred during the commission or attempted commission of a felony inherently dangerous to human life. Malice aforethought, defined. Malice may be either express or implied. Malice is expressed when there is manifested an intention unlawfully to kill a human being. Malice is implied when, 1, the killing resulted from an intentional act, 2, the natural consequences of the act are dangerous to human life, and 3, the act was deliberately performed with knowledge of the danger to and with conscious disregard for human life. When it is shown that a killing resulted from the intentional doing of an act with express or implied malice, no other mental state need be shown to establish the mental state of malice aforethought. The mental state constituting malice aforethought does not necessarily require any ill will or hatred of the person killed. The word aforethought does not imply deliberation or the lapse of considerable time. It only means that the required mental state must precede rather than follow the act. All murder which is perpetrated by any kind of willful, deliberate, and premeditated killing with express malice aforethought is murder of the first degree. The word willful, as used in this instruction, means intentional. The word deliberate means formed or arrived at or determined upon as a result of careful thought and weighing of considerations for and against the proposed course of action. The word premeditated means considered beforehand. If you find that the killing was preceded and accompanied by a clear, deliberate intent on the part of the defendant to kill, which was the result of deliberation and premeditation, so that it must have been formed upon pre-existing reflection and not under a sudden heat of passion or other condition precluding the idea of deliberation, it is murder of the first degree. The law does not undertake to measure in units of time the length of period during which the thought must be pondered before it can ripen into an intent to kill, which is truly deliberate and premeditated. The time will vary with different individuals and under varying circumstances. The true test is not the duration of time, but rather the extent of the reflection. A cold, calculated judgment and decision may be arrived at in a short period of time, but a mere unconsidered and rash impulse, even though it include an intent to kill, is not such deliberation and premeditation as will fix an unlawful killing as murder of the first degree. To constitute a deliberate and premeditated killing, the slayer must weigh and consider the question of killing and the reasons for and against such a choice, and, having in mind the consequences, he decides to and does kill. Murder of the second degree is the unlawful killing of a human being with malice aforethought when there is manifested an intention unlawfully to kill a human being, but the evidence is insufficient to establish deliberation and premeditation. Murder of the second degree is the unlawful killing of a human being when, 1, the killing resulted from an intentional act, 2, the natural consequences of the act are dangerous to human life, and 3, the act was deliberately performed with knowledge of the danger to and with conscious disregard for human life. When the killing is the direct result of such an act, it is not necessary to establish that the defendant intended that his act would result in the death of a human being. Manslaughter. The crime of manslaughter is the unlawful killing of a human being without malice aforethought. It is not divided into degrees, but is of two kinds, namely, voluntary manslaughter and involuntary manslaughter. Every person who unlawfully kills another human being without malice aforethought, but with an intent to kill, is guilty of voluntary manslaughter in violation of Section 192 of the Penal Code. There is no malice aforethought if the killing occurred upon a sudden quarrel or heat of passion, or in the honest but unreasonable belief in the necessity to defend oneself against imminent peril to life or great bodily injury. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1, a human being was killed. 2, the killing was unlawful. And 3, the killing was done with the intent to kill. Every person who unlawfully kills a human being without malice aforethought and without an intent to kill is guilty of the crime of involuntary manslaughter in violation of Penal Code Section 192B. In order to prove such crime, each of the following elements must be proved. 1. A human being was killed, and 2. The killing was unlawful. A killing is unlawful within the meaning of this instruction if it occurred 1. During the commission of a misdemeanor which is inherently dangerous to human life, or 2. In the commission of an act, ordinarily lawful, which involves a high degree of risk of death or great bodily harm, without due caution and circumspection. Murder and manslaughter distinguished. The distinction between murder and manslaughter is that murder requires malice, while manslaughter does not. When the act causing the death, though unlawful, is done in the heat of passion or is excited by a sudden quarrel such as amounts to adequate provocation, or in the honest but unreasonable belief in the necessity to defend against imminent peril to life or great bodily injury, the offense is manslaughter. In such a case, even if an intent to kill exists, the law is that malice, which is an essential element of murder, is absent. To establish that a killing is murder and not manslaughter, the burden is on the people to prove beyond a reasonable doubt each of the elements of murder, and that the act which caused the death was not done in the heat of passion, or upon a sudden quarrel, or in the honest, even though unreasonable, belief in the necessity to defend against imminent peril to life or great bodily injury. If a person causes another's death while committing a felony inherently dangerous to human life, the crime is murder. If a person causes another's death while committing a misdemeanor inherently dangerous to human life, the crime is manslaughter. There are many acts which are lawful, but nevertheless endanger human life. If a person causes another's death by doing such a dangerous act in an unlawful or criminally negligent manner, without realizing the risk involved, he is guilty of manslaughter. If, on the other hand, the person realized the risk and acted in total disregard of the danger to life involved, malice is implied and the crime is murder. If you are convinced, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the crime of murder has been committed by a defendant, but you have a reasonable doubt whether such murder was of the first or of the second degree, you must give the defendant the benefit of that doubt and return a verdict fixing the murder as of the second degree. If you are satisfied beyond a reasonable doubt that the killing was unlawful, but you have a reasonable doubt whether the crime is murder or manslaughter, you must give the defendant the benefit of such doubt and find it to be manslaughter rather than murder. Defendant is accused with the crime of murder. Murder is divided into 2 degrees, murder of the first degree and murder of the second degree. Voluntary manslaughter is a lesser and necessarily included crime. The court will provide you with verdict forms for each count charged and for each lesser and necessarily included crime. You should determine whether defendant is guilty or not guilty of the crime of first degree murder. If you unanimously agree the defendant is guilty of the crime alleged in count 10, you will have your foreperson date and sign the guilty verdict and return with it into court. Nothing further will then be required of you. If you unanimously agree the defendant is not guilty of murder of the first degree, you will have your foreperson date and sign the not guilty verdict for the crime of murder of the first degree, and you will determine whether defendant is guilty or not guilty of murder of the second degree. If you unanimously agree the defendant is guilty of the crime of murder of the second degree, you will have your foreperson date and sign the guilty verdict of murder of the second degree, and nothing further will be required of you as to the crime of murder alleged in count 10. If you unanimously agree that defendant is not guilty of the crime of murder of the second degree, you will have your foreperson date and sign the verdict not guilty of murder of the second degree, and you will determine whether defendant is guilty or not guilty of the lesser included crime of voluntary manslaughter. If you unanimously agree that defendant is guilty or not guilty of the lesser included crime of voluntary manslaughter, you will have your foreperson date and sign such guilty or not guilty verdict and return it into court. together with the not guilty verdict on the offense of first-degree murder and second-degree murder. You must unanimously agree that the defendant is not guilty of first-degree murder before you may find defendant guilty or not guilty of second-degree murder. If you are unable to unanimously agree on the allegation of first-degree murder, your foreperson shall report such fact to the court. If you are unable to unanimously agree on the allegation of second-degree murder, your foreperson shall report such fact to the court. You must unanimously agree the defendant is not guilty of second-degree murder before you find him guilty or not guilty of voluntary or involuntary manslaughter. If you unanimously agree that defendant is not guilty of the crime of first-degree murder and second-degree murder, but after due and sufficient deliberation, you cannot agree that defendant is guilty or not guilty of either voluntary manslaughter or involuntary manslaughter, your foreperson shall report such fact to the court, and then return to the court the signed not guilty verdict of the crime of first-degree murder and second-degree murder. If you unanimously agree that defendant is not guilty of the crime of first-degree murder and second-degree murder, you must have your foreperson date and sign such verdicts and return them into court, regardless of what may happen in your deliberations on any lesser included crimes of voluntary manslaughter and involuntary manslaughter.